Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name's Emmett Mann. Rate, review, subscribe, like, thumbs up, all that fun stuff on every platform that you take in this content. S, how you doing, bro?
I am doing good, man. I still feel like I'm in summer mode, but I'm also not because we are all kind of covering and watching Team Canada as they're out there in Jakarta, you know, dominating in a way that we've never really seen Canadian men's basketball do. So it's awesome. It's awesome to be able to get this little dose of basketball before the NBA season comes.
Yes, sir. And it's that's what we're going to be talking about today is Team Canada and where they are now. Yeah. Where they could be, how much better can they get? You know, Jordy Fernandez coming into this tournament, he kept on saying that we're only going to get better. And fact is, they kind of are. Every game, and I think also he was speaking from his own perspective too, that I'm going to get better too. So if I get better, the players are going to get better. And we're seeing it all kind of come together now. Do you feel like they've met your expectations? Have they exceeded them? Are they right exactly where you thought they were going to be? Your takeaways so far.
I'm going to be honest, they've exceeded my personal expectations. I thought that they were going to be a good team going into this tournament. I thought they were a good but flawed team, especially from a shooting department. They don't have necessarily the depth that a lot of these other teams have. Think of a Spain, you think of a France even going into the tournament. Yeah, exactly. I going into this tournament. Bonsoir, mon ami. Yeah. No, but look, I looked at these other teams and I just said, look, they have more international play. They've been more consistent. They have a more collective group that has played more games together. You look at these like powerhouses and obviously the United States. And I just looked at that and said, Canada will be good, but how great can they be? And they have shattered my expectations through three games. I did not think they were going to come out and dominate France the way they did. They were resilient against Latvia, despite a strugglesome first half. And then they obviously took care of business against Lebanon. And I just think that goes to show you that my expectations were probably a little bit too low for this team. I think now they have set the bar high for themselves. And they should be, you know, in the conversation for winning a medal in this tournament.
Sure, man. I don't think you were wrong to have some questions about the team. I mean, considering how Jordy Fernandez was hired, Nick Nurse leaves and it's kind of a scramble. They hire him. He's performed excellent. And, you know, in a tournament like this where a bunch of players are coming together, yes, you can tell that the players want to represent Canada, but that doesn't always translate to wins immediately. And we've seen that already. With the Canadian national team, but how they have collectively come together and how the roles have kind of been defined so quickly with this team, just going through some of the numbers. So currently they're leading in points per game just over the U.S. at 108. They're fourth in two-point percentage, second in three-point percentage. Among the league leaders or national World Cup leaders in offensive rebounds and defensive rebounding, second in assist to turnover ratio, second in assists. And they are one of the teams that fouled the least. Their probably lone blemish so far is that they're 28th in free throw percentage at 65%. That's got to change.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's weird, but it's also not surprising because if you look at this roster, they don't have someone who's like other than Shea, who is obviously, it's sort of a blip on the radar in terms of him not being able to hit his three throws. But RJ, Dylan Brooks, like these guys aren't necessarily the best free throw shooters. Even Kelly Olynyk, who's a good three-point shooter, isn't like the best free throw shooter. So you can see why they'd struggle on that end. I just think overall, like you throw those numbers back at me and like they are who everybody thought they would be. Like in terms of just the collective amount of talent that they have, they are out-talenting a lot of these teams. And I think that's part of it, but also they've really bought into a lot of their roles. Jordy Fernandez has mentioned it a bunch. Guys like Nickeil Alexander-Walker being able to step up and be this amazing bench. Yeah, absolutely incredible. I mean, he won't get the game ball from yesterday, but he was huge in that game. He was absolutely monumental to keep them alive in the first half with Kelly Olynyk. I just think they've really found a rhythm, a buy-in to their roles, and they know what's kind of expected of them every single game. And that's huge going forward into this tournament.
Yeah. After the game, I'm not sure if there's like a category for this with the team, but Jordy has a speech and he says a few words and he shouts out a few players. He mentioned Phil Scrubb, who, yeah. I mean, he played like what, 6 minutes or 15 minutes or something like that. And had a couple threes. Sorry, it was 7 minutes, 2 threes, and he was a plus 15. That's what it was.
Right.
And then along with that, he mentioned Nickeil for the way that he came into the game, and he kind of set the tone along with some of the other bench players. And that's another thing that's so cool about this team is that they can roll out a lineup with Kelly Olynyk and a few bench players and they can make it work. And those guys, I think they kind of set the tone yesterday in that game against Latvia where, you know, the start of a little bit lackadaisical, they weren't, you know, keeping up with the pace of Latvia. And some of those clips from Jordy Fernandez in the timeouts were just awesome. Yeah, then you have the role players coming in and setting the tone. And then obviously the starters came in and they started doing their thing. It seems like the whole team, there's a lot of connected pieces and there are pieces that know exactly what they got to do on offense, what they're asked to do. Shea can step up, obviously, as he has done. RJ is capable, and we're going to get to that in a second. But it's just been really fun to watch this team grow each and every game. And now you feel like after this Latvia game, that's another feather in their cap where they've learned that, okay, we got to play this way. We got to understand our switching. You could tell that their second half chemistry defensively was so much better. They were calling on screens. They were switching in a heartbeat and they were much more physical. And then just looking at Jordy Fernandez and the coaching staff, what have you liked so far from him? You kind of mentioned him already, but there's been a few things that have really stood out.
I mean, look, the huddles are amusing. They're awesome. They're fun. I really wish the NBA were to incorporate something like this. The WNBA already does. You can watch it in the playoffs and some of the regular season games, like the nationally televised games. For the WNBA, you can listen to the huddle, which I've always thought was an incredible feature. The NBA should do this. I know like they don't want to give off trade secrets and war secrets, but everybody knows what everybody is playing and running almost 95% of the time. You know what to expect. Everybody knows what a double drag is, 77, right? Like all this stuff is just so commonplace in the NBA that it would be great to hear the huddles, hear the perspective of them. And from Jordy Fernandez's perspective, you could hear, I think somewhat of a buy-in, but also if we're talking just adjustments, his ability to recognize on the fly what a team might be doing. So if a team is obviously running zone, he's going to find a way to break that zone. Jonathan Chen, he works for Raptors Republic. He actually posted a video today on his Twitter channel just detailing how the Canadian team broke down Latvia's zone yesterday. And they did a phenomenal job. I think that has to do with Jordy Fernandez really setting them up for success by saying, hey, let's break it from the middle. Let's actually have a cut here. You know what I mean? Like he's actually verbalizing a lot of these actions for them. I think that's huge moving forward. The other thing is, they are an incredible third quarter team. I think if we were to go ahead and look at like the numbers, they are near the top, maybe at the top of the tournament when it comes to third quarter, just efficiency, plus minus, whatever you want to call it. That has to do with the adjustments that they make going from one half to the other. And that obviously has to do with the coaching staff and Jordy Fernandez. I think what changed in that Latvia game is how much more willing they were to switch on these off-ball screens. When they switched on these screens, okay, they gave up a little bit of size in the post, and you saw Latvia try to go ahead and attack that with SGA in the post. Yeah, they gave up a couple buckets in the interior, but at the same time, they took Latvia completely out of their rhythm from the three-point line, and that helped them win this game. I think just smaller adjustments like that, telling them how to break the zone, showing that, you know, defensively they can kind of adapt on the fly. Jordy Fernandez before this tournament said that, you know, hey, Canada needs to be the best defense in the entire world. Going into this tournament, they have looked like that. I think just the malleability, the flexibility they have between Brooks, RJ, and Lu Dort on the perimeter, and obviously Dort hasn't played for two games, but you can just see the flexibility they have on the wing to attack ball handlers, to pressure up, to really, really force guys to make quick decisions and bad decisions. That is, it helps Jordy Fernandez. It helps a coach like Jordy to be able to, you know, switch things up on a dime. I think that's the biggest thing I would kind of take away from this.
Sure. And I had those stats in front of me yesterday. I can't find the document now, but I had like the second half numbers because I was going to do third quarter. But then you look at the second half overall and all their games, it's like they're just crushing teams. But it's like something ridiculous. So they are performing very well from that standpoint. But for Jordy, we kind of know the situation with the Raptors. He was close to getting that head coaching job, but he didn't quite get it. And this is such a huge moment for him to kind of show the NBA, look what I can do.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, it's kind of like, what have you done for me lately? A lot with these coaching jobs. And obviously, you know, nothing's coming up imminently, but teams are going to remember this moment from Jordy Fernandez and the buy-in and these clips that we're seeing during these timeouts, it's helping him.
Mm-hmm.
Advertise his candidacy for any kind of job and how you know, I was looking at the other day and you saw Shea and Jordy on the podium like just smiling and joking around. Like you don't see that from coaches very often, especially with the NBA. So that connection that he has with the players, he has their voice.
Absolutely. And look, I think this is an audition in a lot of ways for him to get that next head coaching job. Now the question for Canada, I guess, if we're looking at this from a Canadian perspective, is that you hope he doesn't get hired next summer when they potentially are in the Olympics. But I think either way, I imagine there's some sort of commitment there for him to coach this team if they make it to the Olympics next summer. And it seems like they're well on their way to doing that, man. It seems like they're well on their way.
Yeah. Just so everyone's clear, we now know their next two opponents. So it's going to be Brazil on Friday at 9:30 and then Spain at 9:30 on Sunday, and then we'll revisit things after that. But I believe after those two matchups, I mean, it depends, but they could see a Germany, they could see a Slovenia. It kind of depends on if they win those games. But you know, you think of the first time that they, and I believe they'll probably be okay against Brazil, also considering Spain beat Brazil by 20 recently. But now they've already seen Spain because of how this is kind of a process for this team, and they're slowly but surely, you know, finding their identity, and they're just improving. You know, you feel pretty good about going into that matchup against Spain, although it is, you know, a great international team. Sergio Scariolo is no joke. But Canada has shown an ability to, you know, overload on teams and make them play to their style. You do worry a little bit about some of the Germany teams that have some of those bigger centers. Like that's kind of where Canada is vulnerable. Yes, they have Dwight Powell and Kelly Olynyk, but even in that France game, the first half, once they got both in foul trouble, you're just like, this ain't good. And that can happen in any game, right? It's single elimination, but they've been okay so far. That's kind of where the screen navigation of Dylan Brooks, RJ Barrett, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, these guys are going to be really important. Hopefully Lu Dort comes back soon because he's going to be also crucial in these games coming up as the competition ramps up.
I think the expectation was that Dort will be ready for Brazil. I may have seen that quote floating around earlier this morning. So I think they were just kind of holding him out to make sure that he's good for the second round, because they obviously need a guy like that when you're playing higher up competition like Brazil and Spain. When it comes to Brazil, they're dealing with some injuries. Raul Neto isn't going to be in the lineup. He's out for the rest of the tournament. That obviously is another guard that they're going to have to deal with. But Bruno has been their man throughout this entire tournament. Bruno Caboclo.
Yes,
and it'll be interesting to see how they kind of game plan for him. He's been sort of like this big man that can kind of stretch the floor for them. It's sort of everything the Raptors hoped.
What the vision was, of course. Yes.
Exactly. It was what the vision was supposed to be the odd some 10 years ago, but it's going to be interesting. And it's funny because on the other side in Spain, you're going to be playing Juancho Hernan Gomez and Sergio Scariola. So a lot of familiar faces for Raptors fans over these next two games. I think, you know, when it comes to Spain, you're right. I've liked the way they matched up against them in that exhibition game. They obviously played them well. I think they threw out something defensively when it came to just having a lot of size on the wings. You mentioned Lu Dort. He's going to be super important. He was great in that game against Spain. Guys like Dylan Brooks, guys like RJ Barrett, being able to guard up in size also, because they can handle guys in the post. They can be physical. They can be stronger. That's going to be key against Spain, because Spain is always going to be moving the ball. If you watch them, man, they are so incredible. They are going to make sure there's like five or six passes before they even put a shot up. And you just have to stay attached. You have to stay confident in your defense, resilience, and also just like be communicating on defense. And I think that's going to be the huge thing going into the Spain game. When it comes to Brazil, I think they will handle them. And it's wild to say, because, you know, maybe even 2 years ago, I wouldn't be as confident in saying this, but these are the expectations Canada has set out for itself, right?
Yeah. And also, it's a different Brazil team too. Like, you know, back then they had, you know, Barbosa was still in the picture, or just other players like that. Like, they just had a bit more depth, and now they're kind of in a transition period. This Lavia game is going to help against Spain, I think, in the near future. Just like dealing with all the cutting and the tempo that they're playing at, it was a bit of a transition. And I'm sure Jordi Fernandez and the coaching staff are telling them, this is how you got to play. But once you're on the court and you're dealing with it, it's a different kind of feeling. And just being able to switch as much as they probably are going to, it's a simple task, you know, for me to stand here and say that, yes, sure, it's just, you know, switch up. But it's not like that necessarily for the players on the court. But this experience, I'm sure, is going to help them. I did see that Lafia, they were mixing around with getting Shea switched onto some centers and some power forwards. And that's going to be something that Canada's going to have to be aware about. And also Shea himself, like, there are a few occasions where, you know, now you got Shea under the basket. There's like a 6'9" dude, and then Dwight Powell's helping. And now there's a tag and then there's an open three. And Spain is a much better 3-point shooting team. And, you know, to Lafia, like, they had a great tempo for the first half, but second half, it just seemed like they kind of lost steam. Like, they didn't have that second half luster that they needed. And this is another credit to Canada, is that they have that next gear, or they're able to sustain, you know, their effort, you know, throughout an entire game. And that speaks to some of the depth, like the fact that Phil Scruff can come in and just produce the way that he did when the team needed it. Like, that's huge. And we didn't even see like Kyle Alexander very much, right? You got Melvin Edgem in there, who could probably, you know, play more minutes if you need to, but he can provide that toughness. He can probably guard up a little bit, no different than some of the other guys. So there's certainly a lot of versatility with the Canadians. They just got to make sure that Shea, Kelly, and Dwight don't get in foul trouble.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And especially against Spain, when you have, like, they obviously have their wings in Juancho and Willie, but they also, like, they have a lot of good guards that can kind of attack off the bounce. And if you're going to be helping off of those guys, or tagging those guys, then you're opening up lanes for so many different shooters. You're opening up just so many opportunities for Juancho to attack. And I think, like you said with Shea, in that first half against Latvia, he struggled defensively. There's no way to kind of chalk it up. He wasn't.
He
wasn't navigating around screens well. They were kind of trying to take advantage of him at any point in time they could. The switching, like you mentioned, in the second half, they were trying to get a big body on him and take advantage in the interior. Canada's going to have to be wary of that. And also, like, this is something that plagues the NBA, but it also is clearly plaguing these more NBA-talented teams. You see it with the USA as well. Just unnecessary switching. When you don't need to switch, you don't need to switch, right? And sometimes on these, like...
Pet peeve, bro.
Hear you. And sometimes on these, like, regular screening actions, if it's like a pick and roll, you don't necessarily need to have Dwight Powell switch out onto the guard. You can just fight over the screen a little bit more, or maybe just lock and trail, and you're back there, right? You're back where you need to be. And I think that's the biggest issue maybe moving forward with Canada defensively, is how maybe they're too willing to switch sometimes. And I think that's probably something you're going to have to take a look at with Spain and Brazil, because you can't do that against Germany, you can't do that against Australia, and you for sure can't do that against Slovenia when it comes to Luka Doncic. So you're going to have to learn to not give up switches as easily if you're moving forward here for Canada defensively.
And that's going to be a big task for Kelly and Dwight, is that sometimes it just seems like the easier route to go when you have some big guys who can move their feet a little bit, but against a Dennis Schroeder.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Probably not. Luka Doncic, probably not. So there's going to be a few of those guys that they're going to have to be a bit more careful. But few teams have like the combination that Spain has, where they have the off-ball movement, the pace that they play with, and then along with that, a few perimeter threats. There's only a few that can really keep up in that sense. So that's going to be an adjustment for Canada as they go through this tournament. Is there anything else on the defensive side that you're curious about? I think we covered most of these things. I think just like locking into your matchups, like now there's a good sample size. You have a lot of film you can look at. And at some point it comes down to the players, like how well do you know the player in front of you? Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like a playoff series now that you have a few days to prepare. They know they're going to be facing Brazil and Spain, right? So lock in, is this guy, you know, crashing the glass? What side of the floor does he like to operate from? Does he have a step back jumper? Like, just really know your people. But I mean, that goes without saying that they have to do that.
Hey, I also think like the fact that Jordi Fernandez is a Spaniard himself and has tons of experience with the Spanish club and just internationally with Spain is going to do wonders for them against Spain in this tournament. I just think like, look, he knows this game plan. He knows how they want to play. He knows the scouting report maybe more than a lot of other head coaches do just because of his experience with that program. It's going to help in that Spain game. I think just for their game plan, for what he's looking at film-wise and how they might match up, it's going to be big for them.
Did you see that Jordi said Sergio is his FIBA father?
Yes, yeah. And Mike Brown is his NBA father. So yes. He has three different papas in the past.
Shouts to Alex Adams of Raptors Republic, who's out there, right?
Yeah, man.
Covering this. He's doing a great job out there. Offensively, let's move to there. Do you like their foundation? Can it get better? How could it get better? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, if Jamal Murray was on this roster, it could get better. No, I mean, yeah.
You had us all fooled, bro. I thought he's going to play.
I thought he was too. I really did think you. There was a moment there where I was like, oh, he's gonna show up in Spain and just it's gonna be a fun time for this entire thing. I think look, when you what you have here with this team offensively, I would like to see, and we've already seen this so far, the foundation of staggering Nikhil Alexander-Walker into the starting lineup with some of their units. So RJ or instead of having Dylan Brooks on there, who like shooting wise, they aren't doing that well. Nikhil is absolutely lights out in this tournament so far from behind the line. I think he's shooting 50% from three this
year. Four threes in each game so far.
Yeah, it's incredible. And like a lot of those are spot up. A lot of those are catch and shoot. But like you need a guy who's confident in going into rhythm, like just like in rhythm, finding his kind of stride, if you will, in these units. Being able to plug him in with the starters is going to be huge. I like that as a foundation for just like transitional lineups in the second and third quarter. As far as their foundation looks offensively, look, I mean, it's Shea plus, hey, can we create spacing for Shea? And we've seen that has worked for the most part, but they also have other things they can go to. Like a playmaking hub in a Kelly Olynyk. They can play that five out offense if they want to, delay actions. They can have cutters and dribble handoffs when it comes to Kelly O just because he's such a good passer for a big man. I think that's like those are the two main foundations for their offense. And then also it's just like getting into the paint. They are obviously a very, very physical team. They can carve up teams in the interior between RJ, between Dylan, Lu Dort, and SGA. It's just they are a human battering ram of a basketball team, and they need to double down on that. And that will in turn open up their 3-point shooting and spacing.
Yeah. My 2 points here, great minds think alike. Non-Shea minutes, optimizing Kelly minutes as a hub.
Nice. Hell yeah.
That's what I had. Yeah. It's same kind of thing for me, man. And I think utilizing RJ in those moments too. Like we talked about Dylan Brooks maybe coming off the court. Maybe it's, you know, depending on the matchup. So maybe you bring in Nikhil and RJ sits, and that way he's on the floor with Kelly for those stretches. They've had some great two-man chemistry. Also, Dylan Brooks and RJ have had some great chemistry. Yeah. Dylan has three assists or seven assists over his last two games. And a lot of those are going to RJ in the corner. These like little wraparound passes from one corner to the other. He's been doing a good job on those sets. And it's kind of like that kind of stuff. And what I like about what Jordy is doing, it seems like this is kind of what their plan is, that Shea was talking after the previous game that, you know, I got to do a better job of, you know, being ready to go and engage offensively in the first half. But I'm like, I don't think that's your plan. I think your plan is to, as we've seen many superstars do beforehand, that they spend the first half within reason, you know, feeding their teammates, getting their confidence up. And then second half comes around and you're like, okay, well, lights are on. Here we go. It's kind of like what I'm seeing, right? It's like, then they go to that five out, they go to spread pick and roll and they make their decisions from there. And Shea just cooks people.
Look, his third quarters are absolutely phenomenal. Stephen Dolan, he covers the Thunder. And I kind of posted their third quarter stat where they're outscoring opponents 83-41 in the third quarter, something along the lines of that. They're doubling their opponents essentially in the third. And he said it's not just a Team Canada thing. It's an SGA thing. SGA is just clearly a third quarter guy in the NBA. He has carried that over into Canada basketball as well. Clearly, just like, yeah, it's spread out. Let Shea cook. And I think that will be a great, great thing against Brazil and Spain. They do have decent point of attack defenders, but they don't have anybody that can contain Shea. And that's going to be one of the bigger kind of questions, if you will, going into these next two games against the better teams, right?
He's outscored the opponent in two third quarters so far by himself. That's great defense, which is another hallmark of Jordy Fernandez and the Canadian defense, but also Shea just like coming out and guns a blazing and man, that's how he does it. It's like, there's so much variety to it. He's so silky smooth. It's stop and goes. It's accelerate, decelerate. It's like dropping dudes. I was looking at some footage before we started this and I just posted a clip on Twitter. It was a screenshot of just a dude just like buckled from Shea.
The guy who looks like he's proposing. Yes. I saw
not that, even that one. It was another one.
Oh, really?
From the Latvia game. He was doing it to everyone. He's so good. He's so much fun to watch.
It's incredible. I guess it's somewhat refreshing for, you know, obviously this is a Raptors podcast for the people who have been watching and following the Raptors over the last couple of seasons. It's refreshing to have a player like SGA where you can just kind of, you know, that the game is in control because of a superstar level player like him, just the way that he is able to completely dominate a game. And it's a joy to watch. Genuinely, it like the fact that SGA calls Canada home, it should be a celebration every day. He should get his own national holiday in Canada if they win gold. So
on the Latvia broadcast, not the broadcast, it was the FIBA broadcast, but the clip I was watching, one of the announcers at one point is like, this is not a good matchup. And it was Shea. Surely enough, Shea just like took a guy off the dribble and finished the play. He's averaging 22 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists on 54% shooting.
Damn. Wow.
Very, very good. And Shea being a 6'6 point guard also is a problem for most teams. Like, you just think about like basketball and how it usually goes. You don't have a point guard who's 6'6. So right off the bat, you have a matchup problem. And there were a few occasions the past few games where RJ, he's become the benefactor of that, where like he's getting these smaller players against him. And they ran some three-man action last game where they had empty side and RJ got a post up against like this little French fry here. And he just cooked him. I could see more of that happening if they want to use RJ and Kelly in some of those non-Shea minutes. I think that's something they should really explore. Granted, I'm sure that, you know, you want to do your Kelly plus bench minutes, but I think, you know, that's going to probably change as we go further in the tournament. You want to have your best players on the court more. And one way to do that is just like very simple staggering, bring in Melvin Ejim, bring in Nikhil for a few minutes here and there. And then that way you can strengthen those non-Shea minutes. I think that's going to be really important for them. But outside of that, just if RJ can continue to hit his threes. That's going to be another one too.
Yeah.
Corner threes versus the zone. He's 7 of 12 over his last two games. Although he's 2 of 8 from the free throw line. It is what it is. But that's going to be really helpful too. He's been used as a corner 3-point shooter when they do face zone. And I'm sure Kelly, as a zone buster, it's very, very nice to have someone who can just like play make from there, hit those mid-range shots, can dribble the ball, can find his teammates. That's a huge asset. But ultimately, against a zone, you're going to need some 3-point shooting. So that's going to be really important for RJ too.
Yeah, in general, like I think 3-point shooting is just going to become more and more important for this team as they go forward in this tournament. They in the first half of that Latvia game, they were losing the math battle, right? That's just plain and simple. That's why they were losing that game. It's just Latvia was scoring three, and they were for the most part just scoring two, and they weren't hitting their outside shots at all. The better shooting team they will be, the better, the further they'll go in this tournament. Honestly, it's about as simple as that for this team offensively. They have everything outside of the shooting department to be a successful offense. We mentioned it with Shea and RJ and Dylan and all those guys just being able to attack the rim and be interior forces. Now you have to be able to spread the floor, and they've done so consistently so far, but now you have to do it against tougher competition, against Brazil, against Spain, later on against Germany and Slovenia and all those guys. So knocking down shots is the name of the game here in the FIBA tournament.
Indeed. And in those zones matchups where they're going to see more zones, I'm sure of it, as we all know, why wouldn't you do that against the Raptors and also Team Canada? the off-ball cutting is going to be really important too. And it's just more about like shifting the defense a little bit so that way they can't overload sides of the court. It's keeping them spread out. That's going to be important for them. And I saw Jordy Fernandez after that first quarter against Latvia. You saw Nikhil, he was cutting. You saw Treble Haynes. Like, that's when I was talking about the early second quarter minutes from the bench, is that that kind of galvanized everyone. And you saw how effective cutting can be. And it's just about making sure that everyone has a window for a playmaking option and a passing angle. That's kind of what it comes down to. And it can be that simple. And it's just about keeping yourself engaged. That's a big thing.
Yeah, I agree. I think like overall, they've done a good job of getting guys touches and also just like kind of keeping things even keeled. Yeah, Shea is out there dominating in third quarters and obviously being the primary ball handler, but they've still done a good job of getting RJ moving off of the ball. They've done some like these ram cuts with RJ and Dylan that have been successful with Lu Dort as well once he was healthy. I think like just getting guys to be more willing to move off of the ball is going to open up more for you. And then in turn, it's going to open up the spacing aspect for you as well, because if they're looking for you off ball to kind of cut in and get involved on actions, if you will, especially on the weak side, now you're keeping defenses more honest. And I think that's important moving forward into this tournament as well.
Gold medal threats.
Okay.
So we got Canada.
Yeah.
Right. USA, Lithuania. Those are a few others. But I mean, it's still very open. Like, this is a one game elimination, right? We're going to get there fairly soon. And anything can happen. It's cliche to say, but anything can happen. Dennis Schroeder can go off for 35. You never know. But outside of those two teams, or if you want to talk about those two teams, like, feel free. But are there other teams that you feel like have gold medal potential?
I think you mentioned it with USA and Lithuania. Those two teams look really, really good. JV has just been awesome for Lithuania. He is a monster in FIBA tournaments.
He's going to be a load if Canada faces him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be really, really tough to face.
Yeah.
And I think USA is obviously going to be a force every single time. You know that they're gunning for a gold medal. The other teams that I would think of are the teams that Canada might potentially face in the coming rounds. Germany seems like a team that could really go for a gold medal. Maybe not a gold, but they just seem like they are ready to be a medal team in this tournament. They just have such a great nucleus between Dennis Schroeder, the Wagner brothers. Then they have all of these like plug-and-play pieces. They have a great mix of shooting, playmaking, and defense. It just works so incredibly well. We saw it in the two games against Canada, just how in sync this team is and how like they just fit together so incredibly well. I think Germany is a very, very good team to watch out for. The other team I would say is Australia and Slovenia, two teams that like, hey, the Canadians are probably going to have to play. Australia obviously has boatloads of NBA talent, but they also, like I said, with France and Germany, they just are succinct. They have like a roster that is cohesive and has played together for a very, very long time. And with Slovenia, when you have Luka Doncic, you have a chance in literally every single game. He is good enough to beat literally any player and any team in any given game. And like, yeah, that's going to be a tough matchup. I'm really curious to see how Canada matches up against Slovenia because of the fact that like they are, I'm curious to see who they throw on Luka. Let's just say that. Are they going to throw Lu Dort? Is it going to be Dylan Brooks? And I imagine Dylan gets the first matchup against Luka. But yeah, it's those type of teams that you're looking at and saying they can win a medal in this tournament. And it sucks because most of them are on the Canadian side.
Yeah, but it's a competitive tournament for sure. And I worry a little bit about Dylan Brooks getting in foul trouble. He's had some problems with it. I mean, because of the versatility that they have at the three spot, the four spot, or I guess the 2-3 spot, they're able to put someone else out there. But against a matchup like Luka Doncic, you want your best guys out there. However, I mean, then they just, you know, roll in Lu Dort, or maybe they got to give RJ a shot, especially in a matchup against Slovenia. Like, you think that, okay, so what if Shea and Luka just cancel each other out, essentially, with the production? Like, then Canada's been pretty reliant on Shea as a scorer. So how does that work afterwards? And then you're going to hope that Kelly, who's been so good so far, like, Mr. I can do whatever you need me to do, right? In his minutes, but then you're going to need him to do more. You're going to need RJ to produce more. And not saying they can't do it, they can, but that's where some of the challenges that Canada is going to face. And then against a Germany, it's just size, man. Size is a problem, right? Yeah. It's like the one thing that Canada doesn't have right now. They don't even have like a, you know, Zach Edey at some point potentially is going to be in the conversation, but they don't have even like a person off the bench that they can bring in just to help stabilize things a little bit for some of the tougher minutes. Cause I like the idea of Kelly and Dwight being on the court together, because Kelly is a kind of a guard in a way, right? With how they use him, and he's able to spread the floor. But if those guys get in foul trouble, boy, oh boy, it does look really different. Canada looks really different.
Yeah. I think this is where Kyle Alexander and Melvin Ejim come and play, and how much they're going to be able to just produce for the Canadians moving forward in this tournament. Melvin Ejim is a big body. He can sort of be your power forward de facto guy if they get into foul trouble. And then Kyle Alexander has shown that he can be a center for you. But then again, like, the size matchup, he's 6'11", but he looks and feels kind of smaller than a 6'11". Yeah. And I wonder how they kind of move forward. If there is a size issue, do they start doubling in the post? And if so, how does that kind of impact their 3-point shooting defense and all that stuff? I think, yeah, moving forward, the size is going to be a massive issue. And then on top of that, like, that's just looking forward into the future for the Canadians as well. When you think of next year in the Olympics, when it comes to France and them potentially playing Gobert and Wemby and maybe even Embiid, and you think of USA and who they might be able to bring out, obviously the Dominican with Karl Anthony Towns, and we mentioned Lithuania with JV. Having a big guy that can be this kind of like all-purpose scorer and creator and just big body for you is something that Canada desperately misses. And there's not really anybody in the pipeline coming for them either. So it's tough.
Been looking for it for a long time too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think they have to probably resort to an import. Like, they might have to just find someone who is like, oh, I lived in Canada for 1 year. Let me get a Canadian
citizen. Get on ancestry.com.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Buy a connection.
Yeah, like the Samuel Dalembert. You remember Samuel Dalembert? He played for Canada in like 2011 or 10. I can't remember. But yeah, you got a Canadian citizenship, right?
I saw Sam. That was an experience. That was an experience. He had fun. I'll put it that way. Okay, bro, this was a lot of fun. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. Closing thoughts, sir? Anything you got coming up, or is this going to be a lot of watching basketball?
Yeah, a lot of watching basketball. I'm going to be doing season previews on SDPN's YouTube channel, so you can just like literally every single day in September, one team, one preview. So go out and check those out on YouTube, and yeah, that's about it.
All right, bro.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming on us. Talk to y'all soon.
Peace.